Attention, the material you're listening to is
radioactive.
Have you heard of the LGBT community?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
We asked a bunch of people if they'd heard of the abbreviation LGBTQ. And this is what we got. I'm Max Hutton.
And I'm Chris Odie. And this is Radioactive.
You may already know a bit about Radioactive. If not, we are a youth media program that focuses on the basics of radio journalism.
Coming up later, we have a story on Catholic high school students organizing something a little unorthodox. Do you know what LGBTQ means?
Yes, I do.
Questioning.
Gay. Lesbian.
Bisexual.
Transgender.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning.
We'll start off our podcast with a great story on the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Enjoy the live performance at the Admiral Theater in West Seattle.
And don't forget to bring your toast. Oops, sorry about that.
Wolf whistles come from the audience as the first performer takes to the stage.
Lips appear on the screen as the Rocky Horror Picture Show starts.
It's a cult classic, with homosexual and sexual themes throughout. Most people don't see it as a family movie. Zara McLaughlin isn't most people. Radioactive's Isaac Noren has the story.
Fridays are filled with excitement for every high schooler. They sit, shivering with anticipation for school to get out. They just want to go home, go party, or go to whatever plans they make. Zarin McLaughlin is a junior at the center school. She's always a little extra excited on the Friday before the first weekend of every month. Zarin's weekend plans are a little different than most of her peers. She is the youngest member of a shadow cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. A shadow cast is a cast of people that mime exactly what's happening as the movie plays. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a classic movie from the 70s. It gained a large following when people started performing alongside the movie a year later.
Every other month, I play Columbia, and it's really fun to do, like, being so dramatic about it and just seeing everyone, like, whip their heads around, like, see what way I'm coming from to just, like, have a spotlight on me and just have that.
Columbia is one of the main characters in the movie. She holds the spotlight with ease and wears the brightest costume. She's also Zarin's favorite character. When Zarin plays her, she wears a gold sparkly tailcoat and top hat. She mouths the words and sings along while the audience yells. However, Zarin didn't always like the spotlight on her.
Before, I never really liked talking to people, and I used to be really shy and was kind of afraid of liking Rocky Horror because whenever I talked about it to people at school, they were like, "What is that? That sounds really creepy. Like, I don't know what you're talking about." They don't want to talk about it. Stuff like that.
Rocky Horror is a pretty strange movie that most people won't let children watch. It's filled with sexual encounters, drugs, and nudity. And that's without the audience shouting at the screen. Most people won't see it until high school. Many parents wouldn't let a younger child go, but Zarin's mom saw it as a family bonding experience. Her mom took her to her first show.
Well, my mom took me to it when I was 4, and we saw it at the Admiral Theater during a live cast performance midnight show.
In fact, her mom joined the cast for that one performance. She played Rocky, the main character, who wears gold shorts and little gold boots. It quickly became Zarin's favorite movie and a huge part of her life. She was bullied a lot through middle school because she was different. Rocky Horror was something that helped her through that.
Ever since I was little, I always had an attachment to the characters. And whenever I felt really sad at school, whenever I got bullied just for being the size and, like, who I am, I always would go home and watch that because it always made me really happy. Like, with that movie, I always knew that there was, like, other people like me that like that movie and that would share that same interest, and then I wouldn't feel so alone when dealing with that.
Rocky Horror has brightly colored and unique characters. There are people Zarin could connect to, especially Columbia. To this day, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is different from anything else. The movie itself is really just half of the cult following. The other half is the midnight performance. Audience participation during the performance is not mandatory, but highly encouraged. The audience dresses up as the characters, throw things like toast and toilet paper, and scream along. Everyone's favorite part is during the time warp, where everybody gets up and dances. It's Saren's favorite, too. Somebody who has never been to a live performance is called a virgin. But even if someone is a virgin, it's easy to get caught up in the fun with everybody else.
Jonathan, are you going to get up?
Not for very much longer.
How many balls do you have?
I've got to control.
I remember doing the time warp.
Hey, get
drink. I want to swim. The black beast is me.
Veterans know the song and know the music that leads to it and just knows everything about it. They get so excited and they start screaming and already start jumping out of their seats to dance. And all of the virgins who have never been there before and don't know what's going on are just all very confused. And then by the middle of the song, they get really, all of them, everyone gets so excited.
The audience loves it, the performers love it, and Zarin loves it. This movie has changed her life. It really describes what family is to her. Her mom introduced her to Rocky Horror, and it's something that they can connect over. Even the other performers are like family to her. They always make sure she gets a ride home when the cast gets out at 3 in the morning.
Like, they always ask me, they're just like, do you have a ride home? Like, if you don't, we'll get somebody from cast. Like, we'll get someone to give you a ride home because you are a minor and you're kind of in our care. So, but yeah, everybody's really nice and really supportive, and it's awesome.
Many people don't view Rocky Horror as a family movie, and the Internet Movie Database agrees wholeheartedly. But for Zarin, this movie is everything family is. It helped her form relationships, built up her self-esteem, and got her through some really rough times. She says she would be a totally different person if she didn't have Rocky Horror in her life. Zarin loves performing now and wouldn't want her life any different. She drags her friends to her performances as much as she possibly can. If you ever want to join her, just go to the Admiral Theater on the first Saturday of any month, just a bit before midnight. For Radioactive, this is Isaac Noren.
I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going
What have you heard of gay rights in the news recently?
Well, it's kind of always in the news.
I think there's 15 places that have okayed same-sex marriage, 10 more that they acknowledge it. The South is, like, completely against it still.
Other than it's about time that this all got straightened out.
Straightening out isn't exactly what we're talking about here.
In fact, students around the Seattle area have been protesting for the reinstatement of Mark Samuda. The former vice principal of Eastside Catholic was recently forced to resign after the school found out about his marriage to his husband. Behind the scenes of these protests, a less visible movement has been going on in Catholic schools to instate gay-straight alliances, or GSAs.
Radioactive producers Catherine Sims, Nina Tran, and Rachel Lam have more.
How do you tell a story that doesn't want to be told? I'm Rachel Lam.
And I'm Catherine Sims. I started thinking about this story more than 6 months ago as I was graduating from Holy Names Academy, a Seattle Catholic girls' school. I kept seeing Catholic school students supporting gay rights, but clashing with the traditional Catholic beliefs of their school. I noticed, after talking to people involved in the issue, that there was one thing missing in Catholic schools that was present in most secular ones: gay-straight alliances, or GSAs. GSAs are safe places for LGBTQ students and straight students to gain acceptance and support. A recent Canadian study found that GSAs reduce the risk of suicide amongst teens of all sexual orientations. But at a lot of Catholic schools, GSAs aren't allowed.
I'm Nina Tran, and I also went to Holy Names. Over the last 6 months, it took all three of us to report this story. We met lots of students eager to talk, but school administrators and church officials didn't want to talk to us.
It seemed to be a story the church was reluctant to have told.
I'm surrounded by 10 or 11 students from Holy Names Academy. Right now, they're making decorations for a protest.
That side is going to be cutting the ribbons. Okay. That side is going to be putting the Z's on them.
The students are all a part of a club that they fought really hard to get, including Audrey Long. 4 years ago, as a freshman at Holy Names, Audrey Long came out to her family. It wasn't a positive experience.
I actually was kind of stupid and told my family on Christmas Day. At first, they just told me I was just going through a phase, but it's gotten to the point where they've taken me to, like, Christian gay conversion therapist type things.
One of the things that GSA does is discuss coming out experiences like Audrey's. She feels like she would have benefited from one.
It just creates a network of people who are experiencing similar problems. Like, you might have the best peers ever, like, that are straight, but they are just not going to understand that in the same way.
During her sophomore year, Audrey teamed up with two other students at Holy Names, Katie Niven and Zena Rivera. Their goal? To start a GSA. Catherine, you interviewed Katie Niven?
Yeah. So the girls began to prepare a presentation for their vice principal of student life, Kim Dawson, to ask her if they could create a GSA.
Basically, she said no. Flat out no.
But according to Katie, Mrs. Dawson seemed to really want to help the students. She was crying.
We were all crying, and it was just, she really supported us. But the biggest thing was that if, like, Holy Names started a GSA and someone that was against it found out about it, they could report it, and Holy Names potentially could be stripped of being a Catholic school, quote-unquote, and that would not be good. But Ms. Dawson said that she couldn't prevent us from getting a group of friends together and talking at lunch because, you know, it's unofficial, and she had no problem with that, and so that's basically where the whole GSA started.
We did approach Mrs. Dawson for this story, but she declined to comment. The group met underground, both literally and figuratively, by meeting in the school's basement.
We met, you know, in the bottom, deep back of the locker room, just where nobody would see us, and we just kicked everybody out of there, and just, we would, you know, sit there and just talk the whole lunch. Typical topics, you know, coming out, stuff like that.
The next year, empowered by new students who joined the underground GSA, the group decided to try again to become an official school-sponsored club.
So we got this petition started, and it was, we got probably close to 450 signatures about, so, you know, over half the school, and parents, some parents wrote letters to the school.
The students delivered the signatures to Mrs. Dawson's office. This time, after more debate, Mrs. Dawson agreed to let them meet in a classroom with a teacher moderator, like other clubs, but without the advertisement that official clubs get. Audrey said that it made it hard to get the word out.
One of the main problems for us is we can't just walk up to someone and say, hey, you look gay, do you want to join our group? So it's really difficult to reach out to some of the freshmen who might be feeling, like, lost at the school. It's because we can't use, like, the traditional club means of posters or announcements or anything like that.
The group decided to create a petition on change.org to allow GSAs in Seattle Catholic schools. The petition was set up so that every time someone signed it, Seattle Archbishop Peter Sarton would get an email. So would the superintendent of the Seattle Archdiocese schools and every principal of a Catholic high school in Western Washington.
We wanted to ensure that this gets noticed. It's not something that just goes into the junk mailbox.
Schools like O'Day and Bishop Blanchett had also tried to create a GSA without much success. To our knowledge, the only area Catholic high school that has a GSA is Forest Ridge in Bellevue. We wanted to know why the other schools couldn't start one. So we needed to talk to school administrators and church officials. Right, Rachel?
Well, we wanted to talk to school administrators and church officials, but they didn't want to talk to us. We contacted top administrators at all the Catholic high schools in Seattle and Eastside Catholic. None of them were willing to talk to us on the record. However, a school administrator did explain why a GSA isn't allowed at their school. According to them, the term is too politicized. This administrator also said that the Archdiocese doesn't have any requirements for clubs. We contacted the Archdiocese to learn about their stance on GSAs, and a spokesperson said that they would decline to participate in the story. Father John Whitney is a priest at St. Joseph Parish on Capitol Hill. He hosts Holy Names for Mass and used to teach in Catholic high schools. Father Whitney has marched in pride parades and believes that GSAs should be an accessible resource in Catholic schools.
The fundamental reason to have a GSA is to make sure that people have a place where they can have both safe and respectful dialogue. I think so often high school students are told, be quiet and go on, and someday you'll be able to think or talk. And I think it's very important for their voices to be heard.
Father Whitney believes that dialogue is essential to the development of youth, and that today's church leaders must talk about LGBTQ issues.
My great worry is when leadership in the church, when the official church doesn't enter into the dialogue, when we feel we can't talk about these things. And my hope is that we more and more choose to enter into dialogue with young people or older people who may have conflicts with teachings of the church. And if our teachings are true, we don't need to worry about it. We can talk about them. And if they're not true, we can learn from each other. It's okay to be a little messy in the church. I think there are those who want the church to be quiet and neat, but that's not where the church is supposed to be.
Father Whitney recognizes that it's challenging to start a GSA in a Catholic school, but he thinks it's worth the risk. Risks like emailing petitions to the Archbishop and school officials, Nina?
Yeah, and so far, Audrey's petition to allow GSAs in Catholic schools has almost 1,000 signatures. She hopes that it'll create awareness within the Catholic community.
We just hope that if this is to be successful, people will welcome a GSA into their community and that the GSAs will just be like accepted in every way so that the cultures of these Catholic schools can be more open to every kind of student.
This wouldn't be a problem at a secular school where GSAs are really common. So I asked Audrey why she doesn't just transfer out of Holy Names.
Some of the Catholic schools are some of the best schools in this area. And I felt like it would be more useful for me to stay at a place that needs some sort of change. So if everyone who was leading this GSA were to leave, we don't know if there would be a GSA.
Could you guys be the cutty type people?
Back at the Underground Holy Names GSA, the girls are making orange ribbons for a protest called Z Day. On January 31st, Catholic school students are asking people to wear orange in solidarity with Mr. Zamuda, the former vice principal of Eastside Catholic. Official or not, young people are coming together to show support for gay rights, creating a movement that they hope will change the face of the Catholic Church. For Radioactive, I'm Nina Tran.
I'm Catherine Sims.
And I'm Rachel Lom.
Well, that's about it for our show.
Once again, Radioactive is a nonprofit youth media program at KUOW.
Like us on Facebook or find us at kuow.org/radioactive. Once again, I'm Max Hutton.
And I'm Chris Odie.
Thanks for listening.